Hi, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Colleges and universities across the country have started a new academic year, which means thousands of freshmen will be taking classes and orientations to acclimate themselves to the many facets of college life. On our show today, executive producer Christy Lakeys, a professor at The Ohio State University, will talk to Emily Luker, coordinator of student services at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, to get some advice students might not otherwise hear. Tips like how to live comfortably with new roommates and how to feel a part of the community you are living in can apply to any stage of life.
Will we think about tomorrow like we think about now? Can we survive it out there? Can we make it somehow? I guess I thought that this would never end. And suddenly it's like the women and men. Will the past be a shadow that will follow us around? Will these memories fade when I leave this town? I keep thinking that it's not goodbye. I keep on thinking it's a time to fly. As we go on, we remember.
Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, we're going to talk about a lot of different things this evening, about adjusting to student life and helping people, you know, feel comfortable in new surroundings. So, but before we get started, I'd like to just hear from you a little bit about what is life in the dorms like?
Well, I personally think life in the dorm can be exceptional, and I would really encourage students who are still contemplating whether or not to sign up for a residence life hall to really give it a try, especially in the first year. In the first year, you are not only building a new bond with your roommate, but you are building a lifelong connection of friends that will last you throughout your college years. And it's really in that first year and in the first few months that you are creating those connections to last you through. So I think life in the dorm really establishes a network of a community for you. It also is an instant community of friends who are in the same position as you. You can choose to live in a residence life hall that is just for first-year students. And that is wonderful because you're all going through the same things at the same time and having those transitional, problems and concerns. And it's a really wonderful network of people.
So my understanding is most colleges and universities require that new freshmen live on campus. Is that correct?
Yes.
So probably for those reasons that you just described, it's a good idea. You meet people, you go through some common experiences.
Absolutely.
And you develop those friendships that last often throughout college and beyond college.
Absolutely. And I find real differences between those residents who choose to live in a private residence hall where you really don't have the direction of a residence hall director and house fellows that help build that community. And you're kind of more on your own to make those friendships. And that definitely can happen. But it's such an easy layout for you in the residence life hall. And as a freshman, you have more things to worry about, finding your classes and studying and just adjusting to college life in general, where you don't have that school schedule of, you know, 8 to 4 or such. And you're on your own to make those decisions. So we lay it out as easy as we can for you.
So, I mean, we are at that time of year now where people are getting ready to leave for school and some people are moving far away from home. And, what are some things that you as a resident hall assistant have noticed with new students coming in? At first there's, the honeymoon phase mm-hmm. where everyone is just having a great time mm-hmm. and very excited. And I went through that myself when I was a student some years ago. And then all of a sudden reality sets in. You can feel homesick.
Sure.
You can feel like this isn't what I thought it would be. You might feel disillusioned or, just mm-hmm. disappointed, or you're struggling with classes. It's harder than you thought.
Sure.
So what are some things that new freshmen often go through when they're getting settled into college?
Yes, well, I think there's definitely a period of extreme excitement for anyone who's starting college for the first time and making those transitions. And I think there's also, that anxiety of what is this really going to be like? And, you may have talked to your roommate on email and such, but you don't know him or her yet. So that's, a little period of anxiety, of course. And your parents are also there perhaps dropping you off and moving you in, and some of their fears or anxieties might, transfer transfer over to you. So what's important, I think, is to just take it one step at a time. Know that this is a new adventure, and you and your roommate might not become the best of friends, but what you need to do is just form, you know, this working relationship. And I encourage you right now, before the time that you're moving in together, is to really communicate. This is the time to lay out those hard questions. You know, are you a morning or evening person? And those questions transfer into, how are you going to study best in the room? Do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend that you're going to be bringing over? And what kind of time restrictions are we going to have on that so we can both work best in here? It's those type of hard questions that I really feel, if students do not just get out of the way right away, then of course, still into the third, fourth month, you're trying to figure out how you're going to do this as roommates. And we just try to really foster that open communication from the start.
So, you know, is it advisable for people to go off to college with a good friend, say from high school, if you're both going to the same university, or does that just vary so much depending on the individual people, or are there any guidelines about that?
Sure. Well, everyone will be different, of course, and a lot of people find comfort in going and rooming with a really good friend. And, you know, I don't not advise that, but what I do advise is for you to just be open to something new, open to this person who might be your best friend and who might stand up in your wedding someday, and be opening yourself up to that new experience. So even if you do not know your roommate at all and choose someone brand new, you will be just fine. As I said prior, you don't need to be best friends with this person. You just need to have this cordial relationship where you can get along and respect each other's boundaries and respect each other's space.
I think that's a good point that you made, that you don't have to be the best of friends, but you need this mm-hmm. working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard stories about, you know, people who are morning people and the other person's a night owl, or one person is very outgoing, has people over all the time, and mm-hmm. the other roommate is very quiet and, you know, is, you know, likes to keep to themselves more. And how do you work that out mm-hmm. that you live together in such small space?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, what you really need to do is foster that open communication from the start. And I generally find that people moving into the residence hall do plan to have a mutual respect for each other. If you're living on the first floor, for example, when students enter the front door of the residence hall, they're really essentially entering your living room. When you walk out of your front door of your dorm room, there you are in your hallway of the living room. And you need to find that mutual respect from everyone in the dorm.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about just adjusting to the physical space mm-hmm. of a dorm room, which mm-hmm. is very small, and you're sharing other facilities mm-hmm. in the building with other people. Mm-hmm. And what is that like?
Well, it's definitely different. It definitely takes a bit of adjustment. And I remember being very nervous about my roommate bringing so much stuff into the dorm room. And I just felt, where is my little space going to be? How is my stuff going to fit? But it does. And as small as it may look when you're setting up those, you know, bunk beds and lofting your bed, it will work out. Your priorities also adjust when you get to college. You know, your priority, hopefully, is not going to be spending all that much time in your room just relaxing and lounging around. You're going to be out of the library. You're going to be studying, hopefully out of the dorm a lot with your new community and new friends. So you will make it.
Well, that's encouraging news. I know, like, when I travel, sometimes I'm able to stay at university dormitories for sometimes just a night or two, or maybe for a week if I'm attending a conference. And mm-hmm. I really enjoy staying in the dorms again. And yeah, I'm just not there very much. I'm out doing other things,
right.
And it's place to sleep, and
right.
And you don't spend a lot of time there. But it is that home away from home, and getting used to new space. I think anytime you move, you have to adjust to new space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then let's talk a little bit then about as the year goes on, there's the settling in period and then adjusting to the demands and the routine, the new routine of, you know, you don't have class every day, or you might have class, you know, maybe only 3 days a week, and adjusting to schedules. So what have you seen then as the school year goes on? Are there certain patterns or trends that you notice that it would be helpful for our college-bound listeners to know about?
Sure. I definitely do see some trends, especially my first-year students who are away from home for the first time on really living independently. Once you get past that little period of anxiety and start to settle in, I really feel like students start to test their independence and this newfound freedom that they have away from their parents. And especially if you came from a small town to a new big university, that really is new and different. And it certainly is exciting. And as house fellows, we just make sure that we are keeping the students safe during this period. I see some new tattoos coming in with the students. And of course, you're exploring, avenues of possibly drinking and parties and things like that. And we just encourage you to always, always be safe and make smart decisions. It's natural for students to explore and experience new things, but what's important is the safety, looking after the friends you go out with and your roommate. And after that period kind of comes too, students also just kind of start to settle into the routine. They learn the rules of the residence hall. They learn that we do not tolerate drinking in the residence halls and smoking, and they understand that. And then we can start to just live and have our routine of your studying and going off to various libraries and your friends circle. And it really becomes a wonderful, wonderful place of community.
So that brings up an important point about some of the safety concerns and making good decisions. And I think about it from a parent's perspective. And do you ever get calls from parents or, you know, concerns from parents about, you know, how their son or daughter is doing? I know when parents send their children off to college, it's a big adjustment for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And many parents worry and are concerned about how their son or daughter is doing.
Absolutely. You know, we do tell parents at some of our initial meetings that as, you know, scared as they may be at this time, And they're going to get that call. They're going to get that call perhaps in a week or even in the night of or in a day or two that their student really is homesick and they're not sure if this is right. And they just talk their student through that. And they know that that is a phase. And as time goes on, we really just encourage parents to talk with their children. We spend a lot of time in our residence life training going through issues of confidentiality. And my main concern as a house fellow was to take care of my students, residents, and to really treat their concerns with the utmost respect and to really respect their boundaries of what they're telling me as personal information. And that's one of the various many roles of the house fellow, you know, is to be there in a confidential way. So if parents would come to me for, you know, inside information and whatnot, really, nothing is said there. Then we just encourage parents to talk to their students. We also say in those parent meetings that after you get that call, perhaps you're not going to get a call for a long time because the students are having fun and they're doing what they're supposed to do at college.
Okay, well, that's very helpful to know, and, you know, another perspective on the whole adjustment to college.
Alpha step, omega step, kappa step.
This is Youth Beat Radio. Today we're getting advice from Student Services Coordinator Emily Luker about how to make the most of college. They say that college can be the best years of your life, but sometimes it takes a little bit of work to make it that way. The tips Emily shared with our executive producer can help anyone at any age make the most of their time.
So just shifting gears a bit here and thinking about getting connected to campus.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in a new place, maybe a college or university you haven't been to before or just for your visit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here you are trying to get settled in and you might have, you know, a lot of enthusiasm and passion for what it is you're studying. There's a lot of opportunities that you never had in high school. Perhaps you've come from a small town and all of a sudden you're in a large city. How do you go about that process of connecting to campus life?
Mm-hmm. Students usually respond to this in several ways. Some students are just eager to try everything, and every, you know, weekend they have something different planned. And other students really are reserved and perhaps a little overwhelmed. Of course, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, it's a student campus of over 40,000 students, and you have a community, a large community. So it can be overwhelming in that regard, too. And what we encourage is just to get out there and to try new things. So starting in the smallest dome possible is to try new things in your residence hall. We, of course, have events happening that connect students from various floors. Sometimes we'll do a fourth floor and a third floor mixer. And we get together just with students of those various floors. And you find out that, oh, you're in my econ class. And you find new connections just in the residence hall. And those connections, those small connections, are some of the most important ones, because then you can go up to Johnny at 11 o'clock at night and ask him about the econ paper and get help right in your network. So we encourage students to start in the smallest place possible and to just keep their door open, meet new faces in the residence hall. There's nothing worse than going into the bathroom in, you know, month four that you've been living there and you still don't know that person's name. It's not going to get any easier. So just, you know, start small. Start in the residence hall.
Okay, and then what about organizations? Like here at Ohio State, I don't know how many different organizations there are, and how does a person decide what to get involved with? How much is too much?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there can be a lot of choices. A lot of choices. So I encourage you, you know, not only to do things within your major, which of course is necessary for meeting your faculty on a new level and getting involved in the things you just like to do and that you love to study, but also because of all the options you have, you might want to just try a few new things that you've never thought about before. You know, going out and trying sailing and just seeing how exciting that can be, and doing things because you just didn't get that opportunity before. So there's definitely organizations on campus that will steer you in the right direction. Even within the residence hall, we have interest groups, first-year interest groups that students form about their various interests, and you can find another way to connect across campus with students of your similar age. And so those are just some of the things that you can start.
Okay, those are definitely good ideas. And, you know, here at Ohio State, there's a lot of students I know who are involved in volunteer work in the community, in service learning projects, different opportunities out in the community as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's often good to get connected to the larger community mm-hmm. as well, that there is a community there.
Absolutely. It's really neat to go to school in a campus that you also see families at, you know, children and families of all ages. So it's not just this, you know, one age group that you are attending college with. You're really part of a new community. And that is exciting. So, you know, so taking part in some of the city events, if there's a local farmer's market, it's okay to do those things. You don't just need to go to the library and back to your dorm room. And taking a look at the local paper and taking a look at the events, maybe coffee shops bring in singers and songwriters, and just exploring something new every weekend is so exciting, I think.
Yes, definitely a good idea to you know, get connected to the larger community, mm-hmm. even if it's in some small way. I mean, student life and work and, mm-hmm. you know, just your normal student routine can just take up all of your time as it is.
Absolutely.
And so even just a little bit can definitely help keep you in balance and keep life in perspective, that there is another world out there besides just you know, studying all the time.
I really tried also to tell my students to expand their boundaries of the campus. While you may have a one-track path to, say, the music building and the practice rooms, to the music library and then back, just because you're not a law student doesn't mean you can't study in their law library and you can't partake in some of the other wonderful historic buildings on campus. I really try to let students know that you can study in a lot of places, and it also just makes the studying a little bit more exciting. So when you're in a campus that's that large, or even one that's not that large, if you feel like you know that layout of the campus, you really feel like you're in charge of your lifestyle and can make it really exciting for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Every day, you know, try something new. Mm-hmm. And at the previous university where I worked, we would have monthly social functions with one of the campus groups I was involved with, and we would meet in different buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into buildings that I would never have set foot in because, you know, my interests were so different and my work just involved different things. But
yes,
it was very interesting to see new parts of campus and just learn about all the different things that go on in
yes,
different departments. It certainly expands your
yes,
thinking about things.
Absolutely. Same with the food culture. You know, instead of just eating in the residence halls, and, you know, that even being said, trying out cafeterias that are not just within your residence hall district. If your class is close to another hall, going there instead and meeting a whole new group of people. But then getting outside that world and just going to all the wonderful little food vendors and ethnic shops and just trying things that you would not have gotten to try in your local hometown.
That's a good point. Let's just touch base on food for a minute. So what is the food like in the dining halls?
Well, to be honest, I think that there's some really wonderful options if you would like to continue to eat healthy. There's wonderful salad bars that you just simply pick a bowl, load your salad up, fruit, whatever you need, and they weigh the bowl, and that's how much that would cost for you. And there's always, it seemed like there was always a chicken sandwich if nothing else worked out for you. There's yogurts and various things in the cooler. You always have a lot of options there.
Okay, so not to worry about
food. Not to worry.
Is it still true that people tend to gain weight during the first year, or has that changed? I know here on campus we have a wonderful fitness center, and staying active is definitely encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's not so common anymore. I don't know.
It's probably easy to do with all of your new friends and going out and social events all of the time. It's probably easy to do. I also find that if students want to have some free food options, you can find them with all the welcome activities that are happening. If you just take part, you will be fed.
Yeah, so many student groups, you know, they offer free food as a way to encourage people to attend their meetings, and it works.
There's some wonderful, you know, fitness classes that they offer at the recreational facilities too, and that's also a great way to start meeting a new network of people, is to grab a girlfriend and try out the yoga class, and those options are great as well, just to keep life in balance.
Yeah, definitely. I think eating right, exercising, getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sleep is definitely a challenge.
It can be.
With so much going on, mm-hmm, and just studying and exams and things. So
mm-hmm,
yeah, definitely take care of yourself. Let's talk mm-hmm a little bit about just getting acquainted with faculty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When you start off and have your first couple of classes, I know sometimes it seems like the faculty member there, the professor is just, you know, not approachable. There, maybe you're in a huge lecture hall of 500 students, or and for you to feel like you can get one-on-one attention with that professor just maybe seems impossible to you. I remember even thinking, oh, I can't even email my professor. They're too busy to take care of my email. And that's just truly not the case. Professors are teachers because they love to work with the student body. And you have to remember that even though there may be a large number of students in your class, they make the time for you. And that's why things like open office hours are such a great idea. You know, make sure you write those down when they tell you on the first day of class. And even if you don't need to access that weekly, to be able to go and stop in there with not even that big of a question, just maybe to go over something and just to say, you know, these have been my thoughts so far in the class, and is this on the right track and whatnot. I think the professor really likes matching a name and a face and making that lecture hall seem much, much smaller.
Yeah, that's so true from a faculty member's perspective. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. We like to get to know our students and have that connection with them. Mm-hmm. And we like people to visit us during our office hours.
Yes.
At least that's speaking for myself there. But we're here because we want to teach and work with students and be accessible. Okay, Emily, we just have a little bit of time left. So just some other tips that you may have as far as meeting new people or other tips you have for students.
Okay, well, I think maybe the last point that I would get across is that it is okay to be open to meeting new types of people. And what I mean by that is perhaps you're coming from a smaller area where you didn't have as much diversity in your student body at your high school. And so you may be exposed to new races and new cultures. And to me, that is really exciting. And perhaps students from the lesbian, gay, associations, you're meeting those for the first time, and sometimes coming from a small town, you don't even say those words. You don't know what that means. So you'll find in the housing events, you'll have lots of events that will expose you to those terminologies, what that means, that, you know, who that person is, because they're just like us. And so meeting new friends from all diversities is really exciting.
Yeah, that's also part of the whole learning process. Mm-hmm. It's not just about, you know, going through your courses and getting good grades and getting a job. It's about the whole experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Emily.
Not sunshine.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio.
Everybody's gotta learn sometime.
Remember to check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. You can also find us on Facebook, where we will be updating listeners about the latest episodes and posting photos, links, and more. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening.
When I see you, you're walking across the campus, co-professor studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend?
Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio high schools, youth groups, and universities. The program is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.